What a night it was for Bears fans. Enjoy a new era, Chicago. It has begun. Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick. Rome Odunze joining him. Fellow Pac-12, now considered Big Ten products. I know that's crazy, but...
Yeah, do we get to count those as like Big Ten draft picks?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not yet.
I don't know. When's the last time a Big Ten quarterback won the Heisman? Oh, Caleb Williams, 2 years ago. Yeah. Anywho, he'll be playing in Big Ten country in Chicago. That was a lot of fun. Even as somebody that had been pretty steadfast on the I want to hold on for dear life with Justin Fields, but I let it go last night. And I know everybody else was basking in the glory that is a potential franchise quarterback and just the thoughts of what could be. And that's what the NFL draft is all about, obviously. You're thinking about upside. You're thinking about potential. You're thinking about pieces that can elevate what you already have. Or if you're in full rebuild mode, then this is the start of turning a new leaf. So there's a chance that that was a turning point for the Chicago Bears franchise that has just been cursed at quarterback, has had far too often some just terrible offenses, not enough weapons, propped up by their defense, even in their best years. 85, of course. I'm not as familiar. I wasn't even born yet. But the Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Julius Peppers, Charles Tillman team that was able to get to the NFC Championship game. Of course, you had the one that went to the Super Bowl with Devin Hester returning the opening kickoff. But they didn't have that guy between Rex Grossman and Jim Miller and Shane Matthews and Cordell Stewart. And, man, there are just too many names. Of course, Jay Cutler. Of course, Justin Fields. Of course, Mitch Trubisky. Hopefully, this is the one that they get right. And I was hooked up to the hopium last night, if you want to call it that. I think everybody is. And we'll see who Caleb Williams ultimately becomes. The talent is there. And it's easy to get sucked in by just the intoxicating talent and thoughts of what this Bears offense could look like when you have him at quarterback, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, a offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron, who helped to get the most out of Geno Smith after what was a disappointing career. And I'm ready to sit back and enjoy the ride. So hopefully it's a fun one. I put the Bears cap on my son. I sent you that picture last night, Kyle.
Oh, that was so awesome.
He turns 2 this weekend.
Maybe he's the one that turns the tide for the Bears franchise. And as soon as he enters the world, so does the Bears franchise quarterback.
Man. I hope so. He deserves a franchise guy because I didn't have one, haven't had one in my entire lifetime. So ready for him to hopefully have one to follow. But fun night for Bears fans, and they were one of the stories of the draft, and we'll see what is now in store. You got to go do it on the field.
When's the last time you entered a season saying, wow, this Bears offense is stacked with talent, including at quarterback?
You know, that's a great question. I was thinking, there was 1 year there with Jay Cutler, and I was trying to pull up which exact year it was. Let's just... For fun here, let's go to 2009. That's when he threw his first year in Chicago, threw for 3,600 yards, I should say. I don't know if that was the one. There was a certain season where you had Cutler at quarterback, Forte at running back, Brandon Marshall at one receiver, Alshon Jeffrey at another receiver, and Martellus Bennett at tight end. That was a pretty good group. But obviously... they fell short when you look at the year they went to the NFC Championship game. Their leading receiver that season was Johnny Knox. Mm. Johnny Knox, then Matt Forte, Earl Bennett, Devin Hester when he was still trying to play receiver. But yeah, there was I think it was a Mark Trestman team.
Oh boy.
Uh-huh. Yep. That there was that talent on. But yeah, to your
long
point,
story like, short,
it's
hasn't
been a long
been
time
often.
And it hasn't been to this level. Like, this is a different level, especially receiver wise. And you hope that the quarterback is different because Cutler was talented. Justin Fields talented in a little bit of a different way athletically. But Caleb is just a really gifted thrower of the football. And he's going into a situation where we talked about it yesterday, Kyle. Like, he has expectations to live up to right away because of the situation, and hopefully he's ready for it.
I mean, we talked about, is missing the playoffs in year one for Caleb Williams and the Bears a disappointment? And you kind of said, yeah, it would be. That's not what is usually the case for a number one overall draft pick. It's very rare that a guy is both in a position to, but also expected to come in and deliver immediate results. And maybe that's not totally fair to him as a rookie quarterback, but at the same time, with what his talent is, what he's been projected to be by so many people, and also everything that the Bears have built around him, the fact that I don't know if you're going to find a better wide receiver trio in the NFL. I'd like to say my team's got the best duo in the NFL, but yeah, they don't have that third guy that the Bears now also picked up eight picks later in Rome Odunze. It's just, that is exciting to not only, obviously Caleb's the main story and it's all going to come down to him, but to add then that weapon, and you see the picture of Caleb and Rome like throwing up the peace signs together in the draft room, and like that could be the next QB wide receiver Mahomes Kelsey type of duo potentially. Now obviously Kelsey's a tight end, I'm just saying pass catcher wise. Yeah. But I think that is very exciting. As someone who's not a Bears fan, I'm excited for you, because that, when you pair that with everything that they've already built up there and the fact that that defense has improved, and I don't know what the offensive line situation is like, but you took a tackle last year in the first round, right? True. And that it should be serviceable enough. Like everything's there, and in a division where I don't know. I mean, the Lions coming off a great season, obviously, but it's there for the taking. I mean, the Packers and Lions are there, but the Bears, if Caleb Williams is the guy, project to probably be the best long-term team out there. And so it's pretty exciting. And, yeah, obviously getting Odunze is fantastic too. When you're going through like the everyone posts their first-round draft grades, there's no one that would have the Bears below an A for going and getting Caleb and then sticking and getting Odunze. I know they were rumored to potentially trade down, but when Odunze got there, I'm sure, yeah, you can speak for yourself as a true Bears fan, but you were hoping, yeah, stay there and let's grab him. Pass this up.
That's what I wanted, and I'm glad that we didn't overthink it. I'm glad that we didn't, because there were some quotes from Ryan Poles, and we'll play a little bit of him later in the show, but he talked about a little bit of an urge to try to trade up a spot or two because they wanted Rome, and there was that workout that I referenced, and you probably had seen it, a lot of people on Twitter that had been reported that Rome Odunze worked out with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Caleb Williams. I don't know what the rules are on that. Apparently, it's all good. It's all legal. But that Caleb obviously wanted to be able to play with him, a guy that led the nation in receiving last year, coming from an electric offense at Washington. And it just felt like the right move to get the star wide receiver, the guy coming in the same class with Caleb, and allow that to push on beyond Keenan Allen's time, even if it is just 1 year in Chicago. And DJ Moore is a big piece of that too. But I'm glad they didn't try to get too cute, try to be a little passive, because this has all been aggressively built for Caleb to have the best situation possible. Making that move to get Keenan Allen is part of that. Making the call to make sure that your trade up. I mean, I know at the time it wasn't known whether it was going to be Justin or whether it was going to be somebody else, but making sure that a star wide receiver like a DJ Moore was part of the deal with Carolina. And oh, by the way, that on paper right now, as that thing has been finalized, to trade the first overall pick last year, which turned into Bryce Young, to then get Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, a first-round pick to turn into Braxton Jones, a second-round pick to turn into Tyreek Stevenson. Oh, my Lord. And Caleb Williams would have been the first pick in the draft last year if he would have went in. So you were able to get a quarterback with a higher ceiling in a one-for-one, and here's the throw-ins, a number one receiver in DJ Moore, and then a nice like slot corner in Tyreek Stevenson, who had a nice rookie year. Braxton Jones, who's a starting tackle already. It was just a dynamite trade. And while there's been some other things that I've questioned, Ryan Poles on, didn't think he gave Justin Fields the fairest shake. He obviously bombed the Chase Claypool deal and could have gotten a receiver in the second round with that pick that they had to give up. But this trumps everything especially if he got this pick right with Caleb Williams. So
if Caleb Williams is who many think Caleb Williams can be, and Bryce Young kind of stays on the trajectory that it his rookie year kind of it looks like for him, that might go down as the most lopsided trade in the history of the league.
Could.
It might. I mean, if Caleb Williams becomes a perennial all-pro top quarterback in the league and Bryce Young is a bust, and it's not fair to call him that yet. I'm not saying he is that. He had a rough rookie year, but that was a horrific situation. He could still be really good. But if that happens, it's going to be hard to find a trade that is more lopsided than that one.
Mm.
It was a fantastic move by Ryan Poles. Just the fact that Ryan Poles had the number one pick 2 years in a row without actually having to have the worst record both seasons is pretty remarkable.
It's true, yeah.
Lovie Smith.
We had one of them.
Might have to send a little gift toward Lovie Smith for that, making that all happen. But
he was the guy that made it all come through. All the wasted time here in Champaign. Now he did obviously recruit some of these guys that have been picked and hopefully, obviously, will be picked tonight. Johnny Newton didn't get selected last night. A little bit disappointing for Illini fans to not see their guy go in the first round. I blame Kyle and his Dolphins.
I know. I blame him, too. I would have liked him there at 21.
I blame my buddy, who's a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, who texted me yesterday. He was like, oh, yeah, I would love if he's like, I think he's going to go to Kyle's Dolphins, but if he falls to the Bucks, I'd love to have him at DT in Tampa, his hometown area. They didn't take him either. They went with a center. So, those in the back half of the draft, the Bears weren't there to be a factor, but Johnny Newton should be off the board fairly soon in the second round. I look forward to seeing where he's going to end up.
Yeah, you'd have to imagine. I'm really surprised he didn't go. It has to be medical related in terms of the fact that obviously he didn't participate in the combine, didn't do anything at his pro day, coming off a foot fracture. That a lot of times those type of off-season leading up to the draft surgeries or injuries always just seem to knock a guy, and then that guy gets taken 38th overall and becomes a stud, and it's like, well, why the heck did he fall? It's because people were scared of the injury when in reality he's probably fully healthy and is going to dominate. I think whoever gets him tonight is going to get maybe the steal of the draft. I was shocked he didn't go. I would have liked him at 21. I was kind of disappointed. Thought it lined up perfectly. But, yeah, there was a lot of places. Like I thought Dallas might take him. They had a pick there at 24 and then traded back to 29. Still didn't take him. Tampa Bay would have been fantastic. His draft party down there in Florida to just stay right there in Tampa. I just hope that it's not the Bills with the first pick of the second round. After that, I'm cool with them going anywhere. Actually, yeah. The top two picks in the second round are Bills and Patriots. Let's wait till pick three tonight, please.
Okay, sounds good. Are you concerned at all that Drake May is going to hurt you in New England, or you all right with that one?
A little bit. I think Drake May's going to be pretty good, but I don't think it's going to take a while because they have, like, nothing there. I know there's been some rumors going around they might trade for Ayuk or Debo from the 49ers. If that happens, I'd be a lot more scared. But, like, Drake May's throwing to nobody next year with nothing there.
It's like the anti-Caleb Williams situation, right? Mm-hmm. It's still surreal that we're talking about, oh, great landing spot for a quarterback, Chicago. Place with a lot of weapons, Chicago. Like, what?
I know. If the Bears didn't have such a history of failed quarterbacks, I think it would, there would be no hesitation from anybody about this. I mean, is that fair to say?
I would think, yeah.
The situation is so perfect and everything has aligned so well. The only thing that's holding anyone back is, well, we always screw
history.
It up.
Yeah, history.
We'll find a way to screw this one up, too.
Which sometimes there's something to be said for that. No, there are franchises who can't get out of their own way and for whatever reason are either cursed or incompetent or a combination of both. It's been said that's where quarterbacks go to die, whether it's because of Chicago or part of the quarterback themselves not being good. The Bears have also had a ton of first-round duds as far as draft picks. Cade McNown back in the early 2000s? I believe a quarterback that they took highly, of course, Mitch Trubisky, infamously, I should say, in the draft that had Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. So, wouldn't that be a little ironic that And look, this is, I'm going way too far here. And I want to play the guy that puts the brakes on a little bit more than some other people. Like, I get the hype out there. It's awesome. And that's part of what it should
like
be.
Wait till like training camp for that. It's the day after the draft. You can call him the next Hall of Famer if
you
want.
All right. If the like the give back or whatever, the karma coming back your way or whatever it may be for Ryan Pace, not to be confused with Ryan Poles, Ryan Pace to make the trade, giving the Niners something. I forgot exactly what they gave up, but they gave up too much to move up one spot to take Mitch Trubisky over Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And then down the road with Ryan Poles, you make a move that may be one of the biggest ripoffs that we can remember in recent trade history. And you kind of get the, I hesitate to even say the next Mahomes. I don't know that Caleb Williams is going to be that. Some people have said that he will, or that he's the closest thing. I think it was Booger McFarland last night on the draft, which he's never maybe the most quotable guy out there, but said the closest thing we've seen since Patrick Mahomes coming out of college. That might be maybe a more fair thing. I was reading Matt Miller today on ESPN, and he actually comped him to Aaron Rodgers. And then, like I said, oh yeah, you know, just Aaron Rodgers, just a Hall of Fame, like 3-time MVP winner. But
that's Caleb's guy too. That's the one thing he's got the whole like, man, I love Chicago. The fan base is great. I can't wait to play for the city. But the one problem is, he said his idol is Aaron Rodgers. That's not the best way to introduce yourself to Chicago.
It's not, but I don't care anymore. I don't care.
Just win games.
I don't care if he paints his nails. I don't care if he cries in his mom's arms. I don't care if he adores Aaron Rodgers. I don't care, for as much as I love Justin Fields. If he's the guy that goes into Lambeau and beats Green Bay, if he's the guy that wins us divisions, takes us deep in the playoffs, gets us back to a Super Bowl, and just breaks this my lifetime plus drought of them not having any kind of franchise quarterback, any kind of hope to get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. I know that they won a Super Bowl in 85, but if he does that, then all the other stuff doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him for idolizing Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is me when I was, you know, in high school, and of course you respected Tom Brady, and I was actually a pretty big Tom Brady fan, and I think he's the clutchest performer there ever has been at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers to me was always the most talented guy that I watched the position. I would change that and say that Patrick Mahomes might be the most talented guy I've seen do it now, but Rodgers to me was always that, because not only just the quick release, the throwing off of different arm angles, and you could also, even though he wasn't the most athletic, I think he was almost deceptively mobile, athletic, the way he could throw off the move and just extend plays. And we've seen Caleb where Justin would want to break out of the pocket and run, which was great. I mean, he ran for over 1,000 yards. He did put up a season that was like Michael Vick. Caleb is a lot of times, while he can run and ran for like 11 touchdowns last year, is trying to extend plays to look downfield and make a throw, and he's got a really talented arm. So I hope to see something like that, and I hope to be clowning my buddy Joey Wagner, who's a big Packers fan.
For the first time in your guys' acquaintance.
In our friendship. Yeah. And way beyond that. I could have known him since I was 12 years old and be still the first time.
By the way, you mentioned Ryan Pace a minute ago. You know where he's working now?
Culver's.
Nah, the Atlanta Falcons front office.
No way.
The team that made the most mind-boggling pick of the night last night.
He's working there? Oh, man. That was a stunner.
The dots connect, huh?
Wow.
There you go.
That was an absolute stunning pick. Makes zero sense.
I know. The thing about it is, I actually kind of felt validated with the fact that Michael Penix has taken over J.J. McCarthy.
I know. I liked Penix for
sure. I think if there... The next quarterback to go after that top three, me personally, again, I haven't watched the tape that half these guys have, but... I thought Penix, I would take Penix over McCarthy. I think he could be better in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But why in the world would the Falcons do it after you just gave Kirk Cousins a 4-year, $180 million contract? And Penix is like the most pro-ready but also kind of finished product, older type. So it's not, if you were going to take a developmental, we're going to sit him for 3 to 4 years behind Cousins, then McCarthy probably would have been the better pick because he's younger and has higher upside. So I just, I didn't understand any part of it.
Nobody does. It's impossible to understand it. I didn't hear the responses from the general manager. And I know on Twitter there were like, I don't know that they were, if it was an accurate representation of what it was, but there was a conversation that was like, because every draft room had a camera on it, right? So you could see the celebration. Everybody thinks they made the best pick, or at least they high five and shake hands like they did and whatnot. But you could see Arthur Blank, their owner, talking to their GM, and it's like there was some kind of explanatory conversation going on there.
Arthur Blank's like, what did you just do?
Yeah, somebody tweeted out,
somebody needs to explain this one to me.
This is them trying to explain to Arthur Blank why they did what they did. I don't know that that was actually what was happening. You would think that an owner would have, especially the one that's going to be writing the checks to Kirk Cousins, would have some say of like, no, we're doing what? No, I don't think so. That's just a huge head scratcher. I like Penix though. Like if the Bears were in a different position, like even if they were at 3, I'd be sitting there like, are we sure Drake May over Michael Penix? I would maybe even offer that up. Again, I'm like you, and I probably even less than you have done the research, but I did become really impressed with Penix, especially pushing into the college football playoff, and as everybody like late in the year was like, oh well, they're gonna play Oregon. Oregon's gonna beat them. Oh, Penix lights it up, and they have a. Of course, he had the receivers to do it. Oh, they're gonna lose to
Texas.
Texas.
That Texas game was as impressed as I've been with a college QB in a while. Just I watched that whole game, and I came away like, Michael Penix is awesome. That guy was didn't miss a deep ball all game long. Efficient. I mean, obviously he's got the receivers throwing to Roma Dunze a lot in that game, right. But it was a good Texas defense. I thought that game, like that performance, and I know that's not how you judge prospects, but that performance was better than anything that Drake May did in college. That's probably better than anything. I know Jaden Daniels had some gaudy stat games, but like just on the stage it was and with the throws that were being made, that was about as good of a college performance as there was all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than anything Caleb Williams did last year.
Yeah. Now, Caleb probably had some better games
in his Heisman campaign, yeah.
Right.
But it reminds me of the Justin Fields game against Clemson.
Yeah, that's the one where there were Bears fans this offseason in their Fields debates, like, well, let me post this throw from his college football playoff game against Clemson. I'm like, all right. We had a different president at that point. I mean, come on.
I am still holding on to that game, though, as what he could have turned into, and the Bears messed it up. But hopefully we can take a Heisman winner in Caleb Williams. And I'm excited for him to take the reins as the face of Chicago now. You know, the Bulls stink. Your Cubbies are good. But
they don't really have a face, though.
Yeah.
They don't have the one marketable star.
Obviously, the White Sox can barely get a hit. Yeah, it's time for him to take over.
I saw the White Sox tweeted out right after. They're like, welcome to the city, Caleb, and the comments are flooded. It's like, don't put your stink on him. Delete this. We can't have
get
this.
Get out of here.
We can't have you putting any of your vibes onto him.
He's not allowed to throw out the first pitch there. And what is that ballpark called now?
A guaranteed rate.
Guaranteed rate. Not guaranteed 20 wins this year, though.
I think this White Sox team is the worst team in MLB history.
Ooh.
Maybe not when Luis Robert comes back, but I don't know if one player in baseball can change much. This team currently, as we sit today, is the worst team in the history of the league, I think.
It's insane. Through a month, I'm sure the stats support that.
They do.
Yeah.
The offense has been as bad as anyone ever.
It's incredible.
They have like 6 guys in their lineup hitting under 200.
Yep. Randy said from earlier on the note of trading that pick for Chase Claypool, said the Steelers turned it into Joey Porter Jr. I know that the Pro Football Writers Association or whoever it was voted him on the all-rookie team. Seems to be a good young player in the secondary. I mean, right after 2 picks after that, Sam LaPorta went to the Lions. Also, I've been taunted by the fact, you look at a couple of receivers, Jaden Reed in the second round to Green Bay, Rashee Rice for the Chiefs. Those are pretty good young receivers that have played. Oh, and then in the third round, not that you would have been expected to take him at first pick of the second round, but Tank Dell for Houston Looked pretty good as well. So, yeah, that Chase Claypool trade was definitely a huge blemish on Ryan Poles. Again, we forgive and forget if this thing works out. And as of right now, just the haul that you recuperated for the number one pick last year is unreal. But I like the idea, you know, because it's hard to last year see the way that Jordan Love broke out, especially the way he played down the stretch, to see Jaden Reed have the season he did. Christian Watson's very talented. Romeo Dubs, or Dobbs. I always call him Dubs. Helping the Packers get some Dubs.
It's spelled like Dubs, right? There's a U in there.
O-U-B-S, yeah. Lions got weapons. Vikings got weapons. But like you said, asked yesterday, McCarthy on one side and Williams on the other. I like the way that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about the Bears draft and the NFL draft as a whole as the show goes on. We're going to hear from Caleb Williams and also Ryan Poles. Yes, we did book Caleb Williams. That's Kyle's power as our producer, and he dialed that thing in. Anywho, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line if you want to weigh in. We'll also talk some Atlanta hoops. Benham Rickhouse arrived on campus yesterday, the Evansville transfer. I know it's been tweeted out by – there was a TV reporter – in Evansville that said that he's committed and that it's over. I was doing some digging on my drive over. I'm told that it's not over. I do like Illinois' position quite a bit. I think they're the favorite. He's coming off a visit at Villanova. Prior to that, Louisville. We'll see if anything changes here, and we'll keep you posted if he does announce a commitment. But to my knowledge and from my information is that it's not a done deal, although I do like Illinois' position. So I'm sure we're going to get texts on that. There's already been somebody asking as far as that goes. So that's where it stands right now. We got to catch a break. Let's hear from Caleb Williams when we come back. This is The Drive.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Racing, racing, racing. Farmer City Raceway with this week's Friday Night Lights spotlighting Nutrien's late models and Dreyer's top rods mods. Plus the full show with the gates opening at 4, hot laps at 6:30. General admission $15, veterans $10, kids under 12 free. Visit FarmerCityRacing.com for details. You'll buy the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Introducing Logic Coworking, where productivity meets comfort. Elevate your work experience at the best coworker facility in the area. With state-of-the-art amenities, high-speed internet, and a vibrant community, Logic Coworking is your ideal workplace. Enjoy flexible plans, ergonomic workspaces, and collaborative environments. Your perfect workspace is waiting for you, because at Logic Coworking, they're not just coworkers, they're collaborators. Visit logic.work for details.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
Pias is open. Catch all of your favorite MLB games on their big screens. Root on your favorite team wearing your Cubby Blue or your Cardinal Red. 1609 West Springfield in Champaign. Pias offers not only a huge outdoor seating area, but indoor seating as well. Enjoy daily specials. It's the home of the Slugger Burger with buckets of beer and wings. Experience food, drinks, and fun at one of Champaign's best sports bars near Springfield and Madison, Champaign. Open 7 days a week. It's Pia's.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less. And why did basketball star Ty Rogers choose Pacifica on Green as his place to live?
You know, Lisa had me here and she showed me around, and I just feel like it was like a good family atmosphere. It felt very safe and friendly, you know, and I think the things that they have here, like the arcade room, the study rooms, like the little coffee rooms, to be able to be here is a blessing.
A free game room?
I know, right? It's crazy. You get to play games for free, you know. If I had my friends in town, we could go up there and race and things like that. So, I mean, man, crazy.
Visit Pacifica on Green. Green.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. There's no better time to update your home. And here's a big plus. It's all for less at the Karastan Rebate Plus event. Through Sunday only, save on beautiful Karastan carpets and floors with rebates up to $1,000. Save on Karastan's luxurious carpets and durable luxury vinyl. Karastan Luxcraft is designed with long-lasting materials that resist water, scratches, and dents. Plus, get a bonus free labor credit on every carpet and floor. For every 100 square feet of flooring material purchased, receive a $50 instant labor credit. Plus, get instant rebates on all furniture, rugs, and accessories. Save $250 on every $1,000 you spend. And buy it all with free financing for 3 years. Subject to credit approval, see store for details. Through Sunday only, the Karastan Rebate Plus event at Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Come home to Carpet Weavers.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's hear from the Chicago Bears' new franchise quarterback. Quick aside before we do, Kyle. What'd you think of the NFL draft hats? I was trying to go the gray Bears one with the orange outline of the bear head. It's pretty sweet. I wanted to go buy one. They're already sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's up with the Bears being, you know... I know maybe I deserve it a little bit for being hard on them and frustrated, and I don't know. Am I getting paid back for saying the Bears actually don't deserve Justin Fields? No. Actually, I have to, by letter of the law, I have to stand on that a little bit. I'm sticking with the Bears, but I said what I said type of thing. But I do want one of those hats because they're sweet.
They are. All of them were. Yeah. Sometimes those... those like specialty hats are just not it. But last night's I thought looked pretty sharp.
On the scale of awesome hat, that's one end. The other end is the names on the back of the MLB jerseys. Okay. Have you got over that yet?
No, that still looks awful. I still think about it every time I turn a game on, how terrible the uniforms are.
When Pete Crow Armstrong was rounding the bases, yeah. Did you like, oh,
especially
God.
Him, because his is like a full, yeah. Like half circle or whatever you call that.
It is.
Like, my goodness, man.
Anyways. All right, Caleb Williams. Zoom call with reporters last night after being picked number one overall by the Bears. His thoughts on joining the franchise, going number one overall, and more. Want to play some of that. Here is new quarterback for the Bears, Caleb Williams.
About wanting to come to a place where you can win championships, what gives you the belief that Chicago is going to be the place where you can ultimately attain that goal?
Yeah. A big reason is I believe the culture that we've been building. I would say the culture, the coaches, because that's where it stems from. And then I'd also say that the love and support that the fans have been giving, They're ready. They're hungry. They're all excited. And so are we.
One, congratulations, Caleb, for being selected.
Thank you.
My question is, understanding that you're coming into a city that's championship starved and quarterback starved, how do you deal with that pressure? And what does the pressure mean to you?
I don't think of it in that way. That may be the narrative. For me, I think of it. I go out there. I handle my job. I be a great teammate, first and foremost. I handle business on and off the field, and then I go to work. I enjoy what I do. I love what I do. I'm in there with my guys, and my guys are seeing me. They see how hard I work. Their guy, their QB, and we go get it. We go win games together. That's the biggest thing, is winning games together. Because I can't win a game by myself. Keenan Allen can't win a game by himself. And so making sure that we're all together, offense, defense, special teams, and we go get it.
Hi, Caleb. Congratulations.
Hey, Steve.
When you met with the executives here and met with the staff, you know, what were some of the impressions you got about this team and their missions and their goals?
Yeah, I say the biggest thing is that they want to win. That was the biggest and most important thing. That was really it. That's really what it came down to them or to. And that aligns with me. I want to be around people that want to win. I want to be around people that want to achieve high, because it only makes me better. That only holds me accountable. And it makes me excited to be around people like that. You're who you are, but you also are, you know, the people that are closest to you. And so having people around you that want to win only elevates you and your game.
Hey, Caleb, Jason Leisure with the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm curious, at what point in the process did you feel like this was where you were headed and it became about acclimating to the Bears rather than waiting to see how things turned out?
Yeah, for me, it was after the top 30 visit. I felt good at that point. You know, I got around the guys, the coaches, the executive, you know, and so I was around the facility mainly. I didn't really go into the city. Obviously, the facility is where I'm going to be at for majority of my time, you know, throughout weeks and days. And so I was around the guys in the facility, and I felt comfortable. I felt good. I was happy and ready to go.
Hey, Caleb, congratulations. I'm curious, how much did you know about DJ Moore, and how much have you learned in this pre-draft process about him?
Yeah. So I've met his family, obviously hung out with him throughout the dinner, and I've learned that he's a great guy. I learned that he's ready to go. We talk, I mean, since my top 30 visit, we probably talked every week, and just reaching out to each other, connecting, because that's, you know, that's a big connection for me, obviously getting the ball to two. So, you know, that'd be great, exciting, but we got to go to work.
Hey, Caleb, we've heard you talk a lot about the confidence and kind of comfort you have and who you are on and off the field. How have you kind of developed that over the course of your career? Or is it just something that's kind of innate to you?
No, I would say it was instilled in me through sacrifice, through hard work, through knowing what I want to be and where I want to be. And then the other part just came through the hard work portion. You know, when you work towards something for so long, you get an idea of what works and what doesn't. And then, you know, you stay humble throughout the process and you make adjustments, you learn and go from there.
Hey, what's up, Caleb? Welcome to Chicago, man. You've talked for a long time about, you know, having a major goal of being the number one pick. Now that you actually accomplished that goal, how does the reality of the moment compare to what you imagined it would be?
Yeah, I didn't know how I was going to react in the moment. I was trying to think through it in my head throughout the process. But nothing feels better than actually being in the moment, actually getting that call. You know, I didn't feel nervous. I didn't feel any of that. I was anxious and ready to go. I was just ready to get the call so I could walk out there on stage and just finally be back on the team is honestly what I'm excited for.
Hey, Caleb, congratulations.
Thank you.
You mentioned the Bears saying that they're all about winning and this is, you know, something that was important to you. But I imagine lots of NFL teams say they're all about winning. So I'm just curious, was there anything that they did, said, demonstrated to you that, you know, they were for real and it wasn't just words?
Yeah. I would say when I met with the coaches, they didn't just tell me, they were showing me how we do it. And that's always big. I've always been a routine guy. I've always been, you know, true to my word, committed to that and things like that. So they've been saying that they want to win. They've been saying that they're, you know, they're hungry and things like that. And then, you know, when I went there on a visit, they were showing me, you know, plans and how they do it and how they, you know, how they plan on implementing that and things like that, you know, throughout the whole team, myself, to be able to lead these guys to victories.
Hey, Caleb, what's happening?
How's it going?
So, I mean, you talked about this before with, you know, when people are talking about the history, the Bears' history with quarterbacks, right? But you must have known something about it. Did you look into this before when you knew they were going to get the top pick? Did you have any questions on why quarterbacks haven't succeeded here? I'm just curious if you, how much you looked into that.
Yeah, you obviously look into it to be the only team without a 3,000-yard passer, I believe, right? 4,000? 4,000, yeah, four. You look into it and you wonder why. And I ask questions, obviously. I have no shame in asking questions. And so, you know, you ask why and things like that. And they're all for answering questions. They told the truth. And, you know, that's what that was. They told me the truth. They told me and my dad the truth about why and what and where and how it's going to change. And, you know, that's what we're excited about.
That was Caleb Williams last night talking to Bears reporters. We mentioned this off the air, Kyle. He does seem like a really likable dude.
I think so. I know a lot of people have been turned off by some of the stuff that he does or wears or whatever, but just hearing him talk and hearing him, you know, really try to embrace the city, I would be all in on him. I think he seems like a guy that's going to have a lot of success as the personality to play quarterback, personality to be kind of the face of a franchise. So I think he's likable.
Yeah, watching last night, it was easy to buy in. It was easy to buy in. I know it's a small segment on TV. You'll want to see what he looks like in the heat of battle when maybe things don't go as well or the pressure's on and whatnot, and ultimately how that plays out. I know some people were turned off by the report. I don't know if it was founded or unfounded about, you know, his dad maybe asking for too much or trying to be over-aggressive and saying, you know, we want ownership stake, we want this because he's just that different of a talent type of thing. I don't know if that was real or not.
I don't think that ever was substantiated, and that clearly hasn't come up since then.
Right. And then there was Colin Cowherd who was like, oh, you know, Caleb might pull the Eli Manning, who else did that? Was that
John Elway?
John Elway. Yeah. And say, I'm not going to Chicago. And he's like, oh, there's rumblings that he's not all that appealed by what Chicago has at its disposal and may not want to go there. And that was refuted. Then he came on his show the next day and was like, oh, well, then I talked to people and they said that's actually not the case. So maybe it was a good job by him, by creating some content to talk about. But anywho, yeah. And then others were like, oh, well, you know, he paints his nails, cries in his mom's arms, whatever. Again, if he wins, he's got talent. Can he lead a locker room? I like some of his answers last night. Like it would have been easy to promise a lot when he's like, you know, the natural question that reporters ask. And I'm glad they didn't pull up anything tragic or painted as tragic from his childhood. I say that halfway joking. What are you going to do next? What's your next goal? And it could have been easy for him to be like, I'm going to be a star in the NFL. I'm going to be the best quarterback out there. And he's like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go learn my teammates' names. I'm going to build the relationships. I'm going to learn the play. Like it was a humble answer. It was an answer that I liked to hear. It was like a very much a process-oriented, not taking too many steps too far forward. And he is going to have to win over that locker room. I think he will very easily. But there were a lot of guys in there that were Justin guys. And so I think the bar, just from a leadership standpoint, likability standpoint in the locker room, knowing that you got a guy that's tough, is going to compete, and those are things that the locker room liked about Justin that they'll want to like about Caleb. And obviously, again, he'll have a better situation to show his talents, to succeed, and hopefully groom and get the best out of him. So I'm excited about it, and I don't know, last night living it through with him and then Rome, and it was everything I could have asked for.
What is there still left to build with this Bears roster? What holes do you think need to be addressed still? If you could add one more piece, I know their next pick is until the third round, so you might not get an immediate starter there, but what's the next? Like, you got your quarterback, you got him a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Is it offensive line? Is it a pass rusher? What do you think?
You go either one of those directions for sure. I know you look at Montez Sweat being one of the defensive ends. Outside of that, you don't have a ton up front. You signed DeMarcus Walker last year, and he was all right. I mean, I don't think he put up great numbers by any means. I think the defensive tackle, usually you're not going to spend that huge draft capital all the time unless it's like a game wrecker type. Now, would I take Johnny Newton? I don't even know when the Bears pick next. Do they even have a second
third round?
Third round. Okay.
If he's still, it's 85th
if
overall.
He's still there at 85, I'll take Johnny Newton. He's not going to be there, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, offensive line for sure. I like Darnell Wright. Is Braxton Jones good enough at left tackle? That's something that I would have been interested in, even at 9. If they took it, I wouldn't have been complaining too much, even with Rome on the board. I think they made the right choice, but as far as protecting your biggest asset, and I saw an offensive line play a big role in unraveling Justin Fields' potential and just speeding up his clock and everything. And I just think it was so hard for a quarterback to develop when he had so many rushers in his face all the time and taking all those hits. They need to make sure that Caleb is kept clean. The weapons to make plays are there. But even one of the things that a lot of evaluators have brought up about Caleb's season last year versus the year prior, I know Jordan Addison's presence is a differentiator where was a really good rookie receiver for the Vikings. Wasn't with him last year. 2 years ago, he was with him when Caleb won the Heisman. But also that the USC offensive line was pretty bad last year. So some of that scrambling around, some of that throwing off the back foot and putting it up for grabs and making some I don't know, forced decisions or hurried decisions. Those are some things that played out for him last year, even though I think he only threw like 5 picks on the year, but did throw 3 in that Notre Dame game that a lot of people remember. They got to make sure that he has time back there to operate. So I definitely look at the offensive line and the front line on the defense as well.
Yeah, that line just felt like it was always so bad for Fields. Like as somebody who I know,
it's awful.
A big complaint with him was like, well, he just couldn't make quick enough decisions and he couldn't get rid of the ball. That's probably part of it. But also a lot of the sacks were just there's a guy in his face within 0.2
yeah.
seconds. And there's nobody there. To block. Who's the other tackle other than Darnell Wright?
Braxton Jones.
Is he good?
He's a 5th-round pick.
You probably want that second tackle there. Yeah, you want to have both those guys.
Yeah. Not saying he's bad, but yeah, you can do better than that and spend more capital to make sure you get that thing right. I love like the back part of the defense: Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson. Jaquan Brisker, you lose Eddie Jackson, who obviously disappointed a ton after his rookie year. Had a better year last year, still not enough to lock him up for another contract. But you get Kevin Byard, who at one point was an All-Pro. I'm not expecting that. That was a handful of years ago in Tennessee. But you bring him in. The linebackers, we got TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn, the Wisconsin product. I like those three. I think Edwards in particular had a pretty good year last year. So I know we have Bob on the U of I line. I think text line says, I'm guessing it's Ben Hamrickhaus related.
Yeah, the Evan Flo reporter.
Yeah.
We hit on that.
Hit on that in the first segment. If you're just tuning in, I was told that there has been no commitment made and that I don't expect Hamrickhaus to announce anything today. I do like Illinois' position, just to in case anybody missed this. I like where Illinois stands. I think that if I were to guess today, I'd say Illinois gets him. I put the odds above 50% going into the visit. I've heard the visit went well. I think Illinois has a ton to sell, as we've talked about all week. I think they have the best chance to get them, but it's been said to me that as far as I can, what my sources say and what I can add to the conversation, that it's not done quite yet and that he has not obviously publicly committed. And as someone that's covered recruiting for about 10 years, I always err on the side of letting guys commit anyway before I were to say anything. But just to provide context, I don't think an announcement's coming today.
Let's hope it's soon.
Let's hope so. I would rather today than tomorrow. Tomorrow's my son's second birthday party. Wow. And then his actual birthday is on Sunday. So, Ben, maybe let's just get this thing done.
Right now? Let's break it on the show.
Right, exactly. Should we call him? No, let's not do that.
Let's have him announce it here on the show. Let's call him. Cold call him. Say, you're live on the air. Are you committed to Illinois yet? yeah, I am.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I would tweet it out and say, oh, speaking of commitments, though, just got a Twitter notification. Luke Goody, all roads lead home, he says. He is committed to the, I was going to say University of, but Indiana University, IU.
Oh, boy.
Luke Goody's a Hoosier. Should we disown him? Is he no longer our guy?
Yeah, I mean, you go to Indiana, you're kind of, I don't know. Lon has the most Indiana hatred of anyone here, and Luke's also his son, so that's the guy to ask.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's really downplayed, and I covered Luke closely during his recruitment, and then obviously his 3 years here, and he always kind of downplayed the Indiana side. He comes from an Indiana family, so you knew, like, the fact that his parents went there, his brother goes there, his uncle is Trent Green and played quarterback there. And you see some of these pictures now that he tweeted out with his announcement. I mean, got a Christmas time. He's wearing the warm-up pants, the candy stripes. He's probably about, I don't know, I'm always a bad judge of age. My wife says I'm the worst at this, maybe 8 years old. And then when he was a baby, he's got a little IU stocking cap on. So he's going back home.
Nothing personal, Luke. I'll be rooting against you for 1 year after you graduate. We can be back to cordial again. But 1 year, I'm going to have to root against you now.
I'll be rooting for him. I know I'll take the arrows on that.
I mean, if Indiana loses games but he puts up good numbers, that's fine by me. It's just we can't have Indiana win. That's the only problem.
Wouldn't it make it – I know people hate this. Let's say they're good. Illinois is good. Illinois is just better. Like, they're the top two teams in the league.
That's fine.
It's all right.
If Luke comes back to Champaign and has a huge game, but Illinois wins the game, that's fine by me. Okay. I'll be happy for him. But if Indiana beats Illinois, you're dead to me, Luke. Sorry.
Yeah. 651 says barf. I get it. Yeah, no visit to Notre Dame, no visit to Northwestern, to IU, and done. And I wonder how much, you know, the Ben Hamrickhouse recruitment on that note. I think that as Illinois ramped up that pursuit, I think it was part of it. Obviously, they got Trey White. They were planning after Hamrickhouse, if they do land him, to get another wing, big guard / wing, to come in there and be an alpha scorer. That's a... has been and still is the biggest priority on Illinois' board. So it makes sense from Luke's perspective. But as people have said before, that, you know, he's probably not a starter there. And even though he has a skill that they need more than anything as of right now, that he'll be behind Mbako and Renew at the 4, obviously Bottles at the 5, Galloway at the 2. But congrats to Luke, I think. And I want to have him on the show. I want to talk to him one more time on this show, and we can just have fun with it. So you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line Link text line. Got to catch a break. We'll be back. This is The Drive.